Give me liberty
or give me death.
This, The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we've got some pretty crazy scenes happening at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Shooter on the loose. At least one cop got shot. This is all breaking right now. There's some videos coming out. It sounds like a damn war zone. It's really sad. It's really sad. I have to cover these videos more and more often here. This is why campus carry is important. I don't know why college campuses are a hotbed for this, but there's been a lot of shootings at college campuses. I mean, what are you going to do? You got a crazed shooter on your campus. Where was the one like a year or so ago, and there were the images of the people literally like bleeding out and nobody would even render them aid? What are you going to do? Run and hide. Run and hide. Good luck. No, it's time for campus carry to be nationwide. It's time for campus carry to be considered part of your Second Amendment right, which inherently it should be. Again, folks, I'm not, it's like, I don't want to live in the Wild West, okay? I don't want to live in the Wild West where everybody feels like they have to have a gun at their hip. But you know what? This is a country based off of self-government. There's a reason why you have a Second Amendment. And you know what's going to deter a school shooter or a campus shooter for the fastest? It's a good guy with a gun that's already there, that knows how to use a weapon. Because it's going to take the cops some time. And a good guy with a gun can neutralize a campus shooter. A good guy with a gun that's trained and knows how to use it can neutralize a campus shooter faster than police or school security can. So again, this isn't the world I want to live in, where you feel like you have to carry a gun around. But if that's the world I live in, then that's the world I live in. And they try to pass all these laws banning college students from carrying a gun. It's just ridiculous. And then what do you know? Oh, college campuses become a hotbed of school shootings. I wonder why. You banned guns. Go figure. So pretty crazy stuff going on there. All right. We are in the final hour of the show here. I still got a bunch of news to cover. I don't even know if we've taken a phone call this week, so I'm kind of, I don't know if, what we'll do here, but so many news and video clips to get to. I feel like I need to do that. Before we do that, I need to plug. We have it back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric with Ginger Root and Black Pepper Gummies. The Ultimate Turmeric Gummies are back. These things are so popular. They taste so great. They're constantly selling out. But we do finally have them back in stock. You can get it up to 50% off when you subscribe. And by the way, when it runs out for everybody else at the store, it'll always be reserved for the subscribers. So when you subscribe, you get a discount, but we also make sure we hold enough product back for the subscribers so that it never sells out for you. Packed with a potent combination of turmeric extract, ginger root, and black pepper, this supplement, the Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, is designed to support healthy joints, promote inflammation balance, and boost antioxidant defenses like nothing else on the market. The benefits of turmeric extract, which we have the best, highest quality of, anti-inflammatory, helps reduce inflammation in the body, beneficial for joint health and chronic pain conditions. Antioxidant neutralizes free radicals and boosts the body's own antioxidant enzymes, supports brain health, may enhance cognitive function, and reduce the risk of neurodegenerative diseases. The benefits of ginger root extract, anti-inflammatory as well, helps alleviate muscle pain, joint pain, and stiffness, boosts immunity, contains antimicrobial compounds that help fight infections, supports cardiovascular health, improves blood flow circulation, and may reduce cholesterol levels, antioxidant properties, protects cells from oxidative damage. So it's back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get it before it sells out, or become a subscriber, get a discount, and make sure that you have it in stock. I think I need some, actually. I don't like to do long distance running. I'm not a fan of it. I decided to run this morning for whatever reason, and the joints are a little stiff in studio today. I think I need some of these turmeric gummies. Can I find any? Am I gonna have to go back there and shake the crew down?
Please remember, remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
On the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Guys, have we put that Epstein photo up yet today?
I can't remember when we covered that in the first hour. Did we actually put that photo up? I see everybody embracing this. I think it's AI. I'm sorry. I think it's AI. This just looks fake to me. Right? I mean, come on. Does that look real, guys? That looks like somebody prompted an AI and said, give me a photo of Epstein on a private jet wearing an IDF sweatshirt. That's what it looks like to me. The whole thing looks weird. And I see people running with it because the Telegraph posted it and confirmed it. People post fake news all the time. And so I'm just kind of doing a deeper analysis now because people keep sending it to me. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody wants the proof that they figured it out. Like, yeah, there's no proof Epstein worked with intelligence agencies. Like, I need this photo. If anything, this is the photo to make you look dumb. If anything, this is the photo to say, oh, see, it was all fake. It's AI. So I'd be careful with that one. In fact, can't you, like, plug this stuff into a deal and it can tell you whether it's AI or not? Maybe we should do that, guys. Maybe we should plug that into AI pattern recognition and see if it can determine it or not. Because I my first gut reaction was that's the fakest thing I've ever seen. And then it was like, oh no, it's confirmed by the Telegraph. Well, so what? I've seen stuff confirmed by these big name internet publishing news sites. Confirmed about me or Alex Jones, and I'm like, yeah, I know that's completely fake. They're like, oh, it's confirmed. I'm like, well, let me confirm to you it's fake. So it's like they put fake stuff out there intentionally. Like the whole story, like you have all these hit pieces on Alex Jones, and yeah, I mean, some stuff they put out there might be true, but then they'll put something out there like he made somebody eat a goldfish. Like what? I don't even think I've ever seen a fish here. Has there ever been a fish here, guys? I've been here 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a fish. Besides, if you know Alex Jones, if Alex Jones was going to eat somebody's goldfish, he would damn make sure somebody filmed it. Okay? So, but that's what I'm saying. Confirmed, Alex Jones ate his employee's goldfish or whatever it is. It's out of Wolf of Wall Street. It's like, oh my gosh, it's confirmed. They published it. I think that one was Daily Mail. So, hey, just because some big news site confirms something doesn't make it real. I'm saying that's fake. It's meant to throw you off. It's meant to throw off the entire Epstein thing. I think it's fake. Like, why would they even do... all the internet sleuths that have been crazy over Epstein, they never found it. The whole thing is, folks, the whole thing has turned into an intelligence operation, in case you haven't noticed. The drip, drip, drip of the Trump Epstein files, that's a foreign intelligence agency. I guess it could be our intelligence agencies, but that would be a little too close to the chest, I think. No, that's a foreign intelligence agency with a Trump Epstein file that's slowly dripping this stuff out to make Trump look bad and make him the Epstein guy. And I think Trump is handling the whole thing bad, a disaster even. But no, now the whole Epstein thing has turned into an intelligence operation where you just want to make it all about Trump. And now the real issue, which was Epstein as an intelligence asset, specifically for Mossad, which is what they want to cover up. It's like, oh, they'll present you the evidence. Oh, yeah, Epstein MI6. Oh, yeah, Epstein FBI. Oh, yeah, Epstein CIA. But then, oh, Epstein Mossad, Epstein Israel. No, 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 no. So I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and then they say, that was fake. See, this is another anti-Semitic attack. This is another anti-Israel Jew hate attack. You fell for a fake photo. That's what I think is going on. The whole Epstein thing has now just turned into a total charade. A total charade. And the Trump PR team is making it even worse. So they're trying to throw you off the scent. I know it sounds counterintuitive, folks. My guess is this is to throw you off the scent. Put out a fake photo appearing to tie Epstein to Israeli intelligence so that when it comes out that it was fake, it'll be, see, the whole thing was fake. He never had anything to do with Israel. Oh, right, and neither did Ghislaine Maxwell. Uh-huh. And American pedophiles don't go hide out in Israel because they get rights to do that there. Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't hear that? Mainstream news. Yeah. American pedophiles go hide in Israel and avoid charges. Yeah. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. So that's what I see going on. I do have some other geopolitical news here. Russia tells Trump he'll halt war in exchange for eastern Ukraine. So these are the territories that Russia already occupies, and they've already voted to be Russian anyway. Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, Kherson, and Crimea. Now, what's interesting about this map is it could really influence the mineral deal that Trump made with Ukraine. And I think this is where Putin is kind of putting his foot in the door here. I think originally with the first deal that Trump was trying to get done, that whoever runs Zelensky sabotaged, that's the deep state. Originally, Trump wanted the buffer of the United States in the Kherson area. And Putin would have said, okay, well, we're going to have this territory, but you can kind of fill this void. And really what they want is Crimea the most, and that is maybe the best land there. But okay, Russia would have said, you can have access to these resources. Russia, the biggest country on earth, doesn't really have a shortage of it. So they're saying, you can come in and fill that void, and you can get your money back via these resources, but this is still going to be our land. That way NATO doesn't move in, and the U.S. can kind of fill that void. But now, if Russia is going to claim that this is their territory and this is the only way they'll get peace, now the whole mineral deal kind of goes back into negotiating phase. But obviously, anything that Zelensky wants here or anything Zelensky tries to negotiate, Putin is basically going to spike at this point. I think Russia is past it now. The first waves of the negotiations where they would have cooperated with Zelensky and they would have tried to find a deal, I think Russia's done with that. They want nothing to do with Zelensky. And anything Zelensky would promise the United States in these negotiations, Russia will spike. But apparently, they're trying to get this done next week. They're trying to have this done by the end of the next week as far as Trump and Putin actually sitting down together and discussing this. So we shall see. We'll see if Trump can work out a deal here. That would certainly be big. It's an even thinner window to try to squeeze this deal into than it was 6 months ago. But perhaps there is still an opportunity. But see, it gets back to the same issue here where the American people are just sick of it. They don't want to hear about Ukraine. And I was listening to Colonel McGregor on this because the only hiccup is, well, how do we get our $300 billion back or $400 billion, whatever the final number ends up being? It's like, how do we get that back? And it's kind of like, well, who even cares? And I do care, actually. I would like to get the money back. But I understand kind of Colonel McGregor's take, and I'm not trying to take him out of context, but it's like, yeah, they just print money anyway. They just hand out money left and right like it doesn't matter. They just increase the budget. So it's just like, do we really want to hold up another negotiation? Do we really want to sit here perched in another foreign conflict over $300 billion that the U.S. government hands out like candy anyway? Over a pride issue, over a stubborn issue. So it's like, yeah, I'd like to get a deal done where we get our money back, but I also understand the logic of, is it even worth it? Is it just cut your losses and get the hell out of there, man? What a disaster. They're not going to blame Trump for that until now because he's sending them more stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's hit the rest of these headlines. Israeli settlers attack Gaza humanitarian aid trucks. Folks, you should see the footage. I can't show you all of it because a lot of it is, I mean, you're talking about dead people. But, I mean, you're looking at these aid drops. And that's why you have Mike Huckabee here. Let's play the Huckabee clip. Let me try to find the Huckabee clip. There's so many damn clips on here. This is Huckabee explaining to Fox News, it's like, well, why? Because they can't deny that they're getting shot. They tried to deny it. Now the footage is everywhere, folks. The footage of them shooting them is everywhere. So they can't deny it. So here's their new excuse for why the Palestinian people in Gaza are getting shot. Here it is in clip 31.
These reports that people are getting shot, and that when Bill Hemmer was there, and I know you were just there recently with Steve Witkoff, he said he could hear gunfire, and he asked the IDF about it. Are civilians, Palestinian civilians, being shot at these humanitarian sites where food is being distributed by the IDF?
No, they are not being shot. They're all kinds of stories that they're just being massacred. The only time that has happened is when a large group overruns.
No. Pause this real quick and rewind it. You know, I've been hesitant on this because I want to be a little more measured and I don't want to wrongly attack good people. And I believe Huckabee is a good person. I have no reason to think he's a bad person. He's had a good reputation for a long time. But you know what kind of had me jilted a little bit, and I'm sorry to do this. I can't help it. I call it as I see it. And we know what goes on with these relations. How do I say this? I saw a picture with Bibi and Huckabee and Johnson and some others. You know, you kind of, it's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's like, have you seen Chuck Schumer's wife? You know what I mean? It's like, have you seen Emmanuel Macron's wife? And I saw this image and all of them looked like, you know, they had quote unquote wives. Mm-hmm. Catch my drift? And it just, I saw it and it just stuck in my head. I'm like, what is going on here? It's like when you see that video and you go back and you look at a lot of these first ladies and you're like, that ain't a lady. So makes you wonder when you know how these blackmail operations work, specifically over total support for Israel, Which, but again, I mean, to Huckabee's credit, he's been critical and he's said some things that don't go fully along with the narrative. But okay, getting back to the clip, I'm sorry to get distracted. It's just, I had to show you that. Yeah, there's another example. It's like, what is that, man? You know, what's going on here? But aside from that, I guess that's me conspiracy theorizing. So, but Huckabee says, oh, nobody's getting shot, but actually, yes, they are getting shot, but it's their fault. So, did you see this? And I'd like, again, I have no reason to not think that Mike Huckabee is a good person. I have no reason to think that he's a liar. But this is what the Israel issue does to you. And that's what's so frustrating. I'm watching this happen to Trump. I'm watching this happen to the Trump administration. I'm watching this happen to a lot of media people that I like and that I trust. And they're going down with the Israel issue. And it's just like, from a pragmatic standpoint, like, don't you see you're destroying yourself here? Oh, nobody's getting shot, but yeah, they are getting shot. It's like, what are you doing? So he knows he can't deny it. Huckabee knows he cannot deny that they're shooting people at the aid trucks because there's videos everywhere of it happening. I'm not going to show you people with their heads blown off. I'm not going to show you people bleeding out at these aid truck sites, okay? The videos are everywhere. If you want to find them, you can find them. They're trying to censor them off the internet for obvious reasons. It's why the IDF is arresting any journalists that film there. It's why they're banning journalists from getting in there. But, you know, there's so many volunteers and aid workers. Every once in a while, one of them gets a camera. So he's like, oh, nobody's getting shot. But yeah, if they are getting shot, it's their own fault. So it's like, even he knows, like, hey, I'm supposed to lie and say they're not shooting anybody, but it's such a blatant lie that I'm kind of going to hedge my bet here and say, but if you are getting shot, it's your fault. What are we doing, man? What are we doing? All right. For the sake of time, I won't play it again, but you just heard it. Are people getting shot at the aid sites? No, nobody's getting shot. But the people that are getting shot, it's their fault. You just said nobody was getting shot. So they say, oh, it's the Palestinians' fault. It's Hamas's fault. It's the IDF's fault. Well, how about from a neutral pro-America perspective, I don't care whose fault it is. I want nothing to do with it. People in Arkansas, not so happy they're hearing this. Arkansas taxpayers loan Israel millions of dollars. Oh, did you hear about this? Oh, wait, who's the governor of Arkansas? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Again, somebody I like. But this is what they're dealing with. In Arkansas, clip 25.
I live in rural Arkansas. And if you don't understand why people in rural Arkansas or rural America vote Republican, it's because of fear and jealousy. Jealousy that somebody has it better than they do, that they work their asses off, and most of them do. The education here is at the bottom of the tier. Maternal mortality, low. Education, low. Quality of living, low. Infrastructure, super low. There's no industry. There's no hope for these young kids in rural Arkansas to have a job. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is treating this like her personal money bank. There is no infrastructure here. The roads are shit. So my closest grocery store, besides Walmart, is 2 hours away. So if I go that 2 hours to go to that grocery store, the roads I have to take are barely have enough room for two people to pass each other. There is no cell phone coverage for over an hour and a half of that ride. And there's no hope to get those roads fixed anytime soon because there's no money. I say that, but lo and behold, what did Sarah do as of July of 2025? She has loaned and bought $55 million worth of Israeli bonds. So she's loaned Israel $55 million with a catch to give them 100 more million by the end of the year. When her people are starving, they have no medical care. Teenage girls here are living at home pregnant with their moms. And they're living at home with their moms and their boyfriends. Because that's how rural America lives. There's nothing for these kids to look forward to. So why would they ever, ever vote Republican? Because that's what they're told to do. $150 million would go a long way to feed, get medical attention, and up our so that our children here in Arkansas don't die in infancy and the mothers don't die and childbirth. And that is rural America. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is the worst governor at, well, eh. Okay, she's second. Our neighbor, Texas Abbott, is worse. But she's a close second.
I mean, folks, this is outrageous. It's outrageous. And again, I'm watching good people that have strong approval ratings on the right, like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like a Mike Huckabee. These are generally liked people on the right, good approval ratings on the right, and they're flushing their entire reputation down the drain for Israel. And I just don't get it. I really don't get it. What am I left to assume? They're bought and paid for and corrupt, blackmailed, or what? They're a foreign agent? Are you not an American? You know, and I've said this before. It's not that I promote it. I just live in reality. If you're an American Jew and you've been taught about Israel being the Holy Land, your people's Holy Land, God's chosen people, God's Holy Land for your people, and you've been going to Israel, maybe you've lived there, I understand there is a dual loyalty there. I don't like it. I take issue with it, but at least I can understand it. I can say, okay, yeah, you're a Jew. This is your faith. Maybe you've lived there. Maybe you've got family there. You've been taught about this land. It's your holy land. Like I can understand a dual loyalty there, whether I like it or not. I can at least comprehend why that exists. You're an American. You have a loyalty to Israel. You're either blackmailed or you're sold out. There is no other excuse to me. Well, because don't you know it's a Christian holy site? Okay, well, if you really believe that, then why don't Christians run it? If you really believe that Israel is a Christian holy site, then why aren't you promoting Christians to go run Israel? Why aren't you promoting America to go take over Israel, put the American flag up there, and put Christians in charge, if you really believe that? So what is it? What am I left to assume? So I'm saying, I like Mike Huckabee. I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Why are you destroying your reputation over Israel? Why are you destroying a good reputation you've built up on the right wing over a foreign country? And it's so obvious now. I guess maybe the least assumptive thing I could land on here is that they really just have fallen totally for the Israeli propaganda, which it has worked very well on older generations, let's be honest. It's why there is such a generational gap on support of Israel. It's why the younger people under 40 are done with it. Under 30, I mean, under 30, 100% done. Like, under 30-year Americans, 100% done with Israel. Under 40, it's like 90% done. But over 50, it's like, no, most people over 50 still believe that they're supposed to support Israel. It's like that's somehow part of their political makeup is the propaganda that they've been fed their whole lives. And they'll see it eventually if they haven't yet. So that would be the easiest, least painful explanation of why good Christians, good conservatives would flush their entire reputation down the drain over Israel. That would be the best explanation, but it doesn't seem like that's the case based off of everything else that we're learning here. So, hey, congratulations, Arkansas. You can't even get basic infrastructure because your governor just gave $50 million to a foreign country. Way to go.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra-methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start going to take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was. Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago, and I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect, and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
Well, give me some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theauctionstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. That's why I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think just the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the war room. Here's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're not going to have time for calls. I just got too much news I want to get off the desk. Still like 20 video clips. There's no way we can do it all in this final 25 minutes. But we'll do our best. By the way, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton moves to declare every runaway Democrat seat vacant. Well, I told you, if anybody was going to have the motive to actually make a move against them, it would be Paxton. To win some political points ahead of a Senate race. But we'll see what happens. Apparently, the Democrats are now running around California with Gavin Newsom. So it's hard to keep up. And there's Jasmine Crockett. She's one of them. Trump critic Representative Jasmine Crockett is a no-show boss from hell who terrorizes staffers, aides say. All diva, no wow. Isn't that what the Kamala Harris aides were saying, too? Remember how she couldn't even hold down a staff as the vice president because she was so insufferable? Sounds like Crockett might be a similar type character, to the surprise of nobody. Man, there's so much crazy stuff here. Maybe I just cover these headlines and then go down the video list. I got so many crazy things on the video list, though. Now, this is funny, or maybe not. Trump Burger, you know, have you heard of Trump Burger? There's a place called Trump Burger in Houston. Trump Burger owner faces deportation after ICE arrests in Houston. That's right. Facing deportation, apparently a non-immigrant visitor visa, but it expired. Trump-themed burger joint owner detained by ICE might be deported regardless of political beliefs. But wait a second. Could it actually be because of political beliefs? You know, the Lebanese people aren't too big of fans of Israel. And we know that, you know, if you're not a violent criminal, the one thing that can get you deported is being a critic of Israel. So I wonder if he maybe said something that he wasn't supposed to say about our friends over there in the Middle East. And so now he's on ICE's radar. And, yeah, we know you support Trump, but that's not enough. You have to be totally loyal to Israel, too. Of course, I'm conspiracy theorizing, guys, so let's just calm down. And then you have these Democrats like Senator Annalise Ortez, who says she will be alerting Arizona citizens, or I guess non-citizens, really. She will be alerting them whenever she knows when ICE is town and where ICE is and to keep you safe from being deported. So that's good. Aiding and abetting in crime. Another Democrat there. Very good. Should we do a little AI here? We got time. Check this out. This is a graph of OpenAI's activities. Okay? Now, if you notice here, there's a steep decline. There's a pretty consistent here, and then it goes up here, and then it goes straight down. Now, okay, I'll kind of use the crew as a sounding board here. Do you guys know what this represents? Anybody want to take a guess? Let's put the graph back on screen. And if any of the crew wants to take a guess, I'll give you another couple seconds. Does anybody want to take a guess at what has happened here? Just look at the dates. Take a look at the dates. Think for a second. Nope, nobody. All right, well, once I say it, you guys... Once I say it, you guys are going to be like, holy crap, it's so obvious. Folks, these are school students using AI. So, okay, they use AI, okay, normal levels. Then they have their final exams, goes to the highest levels of all time, and then school is out, and it virtually goes down to nothing. School students are the biggest users of AI to do their work for them. Now, look, I've been a savvy high school student before that got straight A's. I was never really the smartest kid in high school, but I got straight A's because I learned what I can do to get straight A's. Now, I was never a cheater. I think I got caught one time sharing exam answers with another student. I got detention for that. But the high school I went to is a former military academy. They still kept a lot of the rules. You get caught twice, you're expelled. So you get caught once, you get a week detention. So I got caught once sharing answers on an exam. But that was it. I wasn't a big cheater, but I knew, you know, I knew how to get by and do what I needed to do. And a lot of that had to do with some of the stuff that was digital, really. Like, I wasn't good at math, but the stuff that we had on the math program that was digital, I basically knew how to kind of rig that game. It's like you could plug in, I forget what it was, like you could plug in the wrong answer three times, and it would eventually just kick you the right answer, and it wouldn't know the difference. And in the final equation, it would just say you got it right. So it's like, I understand high school students doing whatever they need to do to get an A. So I'm not judging them for that. In fact, it's kind of showing that they're resourceful. But aside from that, it's like these students are becoming so reliant on AI. Where do you go from there? Where do you go? It's not like they're having to seek out where to actually get information. They're just not even doing the work. So that's... Like, for me, it was more of a timing thing. It was like, okay, I figured out how I could do the least amount of homework at home and either do it in between classes or before class or, like, at lunch or something. And then with other things, like a digital math thing, I could figure out how to basically get an A even if I got all the answers wrong. It was like kind of being a way like you still would get the information you needed, but you, maybe a resourceful way of having the least interference, let's say, in your outside of school life. This is just they're not even doing the work. So that's what that represents. By the way, since you guys put that up, you know, I'm noticing this with the right wing, and I guess it's not the first time. Right wingers have, you know, conservatives have complained about South Park before. But like you go into the comments in these viral South Park clips, it's a bunch of conservatives whining and bitching. It's just it's pathetic. So like, have you guys seen this? If you're on X, you've seen it. You've got all the sorority videos now, and this happens every year. This is like a white girl. This is like mating rituals for white people, I would say. This is like your white people's mating ritual here. But you have the sorority girls, you know, they dress up all skimpy and they do their little, you know, stripper dances or whatever it is. It's nothing new. They've been doing it for years. Everybody's seen it. It's just now you have the internet, so this stuff goes viral. But you know what's funny? I keep seeing, you know, this is why it's so strange with the whole conservative thing. And I kind of talked about this yesterday, where it's like we kind of pick and choose what we're going to celebrate as conservatives or what we're going to like pretend to be conservatives over. Let's be perfectly clear. I mean, okay, do I like the videos? Whatever. Hot girls dancing, I'm not going to complain. But there's nothing conservative about this. Let's be perfectly clear. Girls humping and gyrating in essentially bra and panties is not conservative, all right? So it's funny, I'll see people like lunge at women for not being conservative enough on a certain issue or socially. It's like, oh, you're not a real conservative. And then they'll all celebrate these videos of girls, pardon me, acting like sluts. So again, I'm not complaining. I'm not the social police here, okay? Shut up, guys. I'm not the social police here. I'm really not. I don't claim to be some conservative social police or some like role model for conservatives. Not claiming that, okay? I've had plenty of fun in my life. My life nowadays is pretty low key. But I see all the conservative social police. It's like, oh, this girl's not conservative enough for this reason. And it's like, well, how conservative is Trump socially? And then I see them all share, look at this. This is great. America's back. Oh, conservatism is back. This is right wing winning. I'm like, what are you talking about? These girls are in bra and panties jumping up and down, humping the air. What's conservative about that? There's nothing Christian conservative about that. So it's this weird thing going on in right-wing culture now. But the other thing that I find strange about it is if you see this stuff, what are you seeing? You're seeing right-wingers post it, and they're saying liberals are pissed about this. And I'm sitting here saying, where? Where are liberals pissed about this? I'm not seeing any liberals complain about it. Like, oh, they're owning the libs. Libs are pissed. And I'm literally like, I haven't seen a single liberal complaint. All I've seen is the conservative culture celebrating girls not acting conservatively at all. If anything, this is extremely liberal. Dressing up in scantily clad clothes and humping and gyrating. That's not conservative. Again, I'm not the social police. If I was a younger man, I'd be going to these sororities and having a great time. But it's like, oh, the liberals, this video triggered the liberals. Oh, the liberals are pit. Where? What are you talking about? Show me. I'm not seeing it anywhere. And there's nothing conservative about it, by the way. But they're wearing jeans for Sydney Sweeney. I like Sydney Sweeney. She seems fun. She votes Republican. She has her tits out all the time. I mean, what are we doing here? But look, they're waving American flag. Great, they're in America. They're half naked. Like, what are we? Conservative culture is just getting really weird. Right wing conservative culture is just getting really strange. I'm not the social police, so I really don't care, and I'm not even trying to act like I have some higher standard. Okay, I'm just observing and reporting here. Liberals are pissed at these sorority videos. Where? What are you talking about? I bet you liberals probably run these sororities. Like, what are we talking about here? Oh, yeah, they're pissed at my thirst trap this morning. I told them not to call me skinny. So it's very strange. Liberals are pissed. No, they're not. I don't see them pissed anywhere. However, I see you promoting degenerative activity for college girls, though. I see you promoting 18-year-old girls acting promiscuous, which sounds pretty liberal. But okay, conservatives, ooh, and then they go complain about South Park. Oh, it's weird, man. Hey, as long as everyone's having fun, all right? As long as everyone is having fun. Yeah, guys, I'm sure the college liberal boys are really triggered over this. Like, oh my gosh. Did you see the sorority girls gyrating around in their bras? Like, whoa, I'm triggered as a liberal. Okay. No, that's conservatism now. Conservatism is, you know, trannies as long as they vote Trump. So, yeah. This is now considered conservative. Liberals are pissed. I don't see any liberals complaining. Now, I have seen a little bit of that with the Sydney Sweeney deal, but that's just more because she's white and they're just racists. Like, did you see this girl? This is so, I've never seen anything like this. This woman has to weigh 400 pounds and she's flicking off a Sydney Sweeney billboard. And if we have this, I don't know if you can see it in this printout. I don't even know how you get this fat. I'm going to be honest. I don't know it. I'm curious. I think it's harder to get that fat than it would be to get skinny. Because to get skinny, you just stop eating. Like, how much did you have to eat? How much did you have to eat to get that fat? This woman is so fat. I'm not even kidding you. If you can find the image, maybe you can see it in this, but if you can find it on the screen here, this woman is so fat, she literally has a tit on her hip. I've never seen that before. You see that? You ever seen anything like that? She's, oh, I'm flipping off Sydney Sweeney. Woohoo! she has a tit on her hip. What is that? How do you even do that? Did a donut get lodged in your hamstring? Were you unable to properly consume and digest a donut that it just got somehow lodged in your hip? What the hell is going on? Okay, we're having fun. Anyway, back to the AI thing. We're trying to be serious. Teacher accused of creating AI-generated child content. I don't even want to say it. I can't even put the two words together. It's so disgusting. But you can get what I'm saying. It's the worst of the worst. Of his own students. Put this guy under the jail. Yeah, that's an interesting thing that we've really never had to deal with before. But AI, and the Trump administration has actually addressed this. They signed a bill about AI-generated sexual content, which now with the whole new, I don't know if you've been seeing this new, Grok just came out with the Imagine app where you can turn a photo into a moving picture. Google just updated, I think it's called Veo. I think it's called Veo 3 now. Where you just plug in a picture and they can basically turn it into a motion picture. And you had a teacher doing that with photos of his students. Yikes. I mean, how do you handle this? So they've already signed some laws, some executive orders inside the administration to try to tamper this. But this is new. This is new territory. I don't even know, man, because it's like, what are you going to do? It's not like the technology's going anywhere. But you also have to consider privacy rights. But at the same time, obviously generating pornographic material over, an unwitting individual using their likeness and images, that's a crime. So this is a new stuff, but this is just beyond perverted. And so this is now a new problem we're going to have to settle with. But let's do this. How about this one? Students using AI. Yeah. How about this young girl? She gets creative with AI. She's able to get out of class. Then she gets caught, and she's able to get out of that all with AI. Listen to this story in clip 11.
I had dinner with a friend last night, and she said that her friend's daughter, who's 13 years old, fed her mom's voice to an AI generator, and she would make messages so that she could call herself out of school. Like, hey, it's Mrs. So-and-so. Hallie can't come into school today because she's not feeling well. And then she would just go hang out with her friends, and all of her friends were doing this. And so she was out for 3 days straight, and then her mom got a call from the school being like, hey, is your daughter okay? She, like, you know, you've been calling her out of class. Like, we just want to make sure she's okay. Her daughter then used her mom's voice on her own dad so that she could have a sleepover. Like, this is just the beginning. Feeding your parents' voice to AI to then use their voice to get you out of things, like, it's cooked. Why do they have to go to school? Why do they have to really do anything, have any chores, responsibility? Like, this is wild. This is so wild. I can't even imagine being a parent right now.
Yeah, or a teacher having to deal with this stuff. All right, I've got another AI video I want to play here. Trump has just made this announcement, though, so let's just break in here. The highly anticipated meeting between myself and President Vladimir Putin will take place next Friday, August 15th, 2025, in the great state of Alaska. Further details to follow. All right, so there they go. They have established a meeting date, and it will take place in Alaska next Friday, President Trump and Vladimir Putin. All right, now let's go to Eric Weinstein, a brilliant mind. And he realizes that sometimes, you know, when you have a mind like that, it's hard to communicate with complex issues and ideas. So this is only a 90-second clip. It's going to be a little hard to interpret out of the gates, and then he kind of rephrases it at the end here. But just one of these issues, there's many such directions as it go. One of these issues, what are some things that we need to be considering for the future and how AI is going to be used, but what it's going to do to humanity? So listen to this one brought up by Eric Weinstein in clip 9.
AI is about, within the next year or so, going to be capable of producing compelling video evidence that will not be detectable. That is going to create, first, a radical increase in the rate of proliferation of cognitive universes that we are forced to keep alive. And I suspect that the immediate consequence of that is going to be paralysis, that the number of different combinations of possibilities where you cannot resolve, you cannot get closure and say, I think I live in this world, and so I'm going to ignore all of those possibilities over there and go forward as if this is true. You're basically going to become agnostic about just about everything. And so in this mental multiverse, you will maybe be able to avoid embarrassment by not putting your weight on any of the ice, but you can't accomplish anything in that state. And that's what I'm concerned about, that we are going to be collectively put into a circumstance where everybody will be afraid to assume enough about the world to actually be capable of acting rationally towards it. Mm. And that's a very frightening prospect.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, just imagine as kind of an example here that image of Epstein on a jet wearing an IDF sweatshirt that I believe is AI, but they publish it and they say it's real. Well, that's what he's talking about. It's like you're eventually going to get to this point where you're not sure what's real and what's not. So as he uses the analogy, you're just not going to step on the ice, because you don't know if it's thick enough to hold you. You don't know if this is real or not, so I'm just going to not even comment on it, look at it, consume it. I don't know what's real or what's not. And that's just like one angle of this potential. By the way, you know, you'll see photos, Jean-Luc Brunel, he has an IDF hat on and other stuff too, but that one is definitely real. That was from stories before AI was out. But Think about what this does to evidence in a criminal trial. Somebody can set you up with AI, and I mean, how do we deal with that? So beyond the lines of in 2 or 3 years, not even being able to tell what's AI or what's not, and then you'll have not only, it's like, okay, well, will you have programs that can recognize if something is AI or not? Will there be like expert human analysis that'll determine? Because I've noticed like some people can not determine what's real and what's not already. Some people already struggle, like they can't tell if it's AI or not. It's like they'll see, it's something to me that'll be clearly AI, and they'll see it and they'll think it's real. I'll be like, no, that's fake. But imagine somebody makes something up with AI. I mean, beyond even what we're thinking right now, you're probably thinking a fake image, a fake video, a fake soundbite. Folks, they could create fake documents. They could create a fake GPS locator data, putting you at the spot of a crime that you were never at. And we're just racing into this stuff. Nobody's really talking about it, trying to put it down with all this potential danger. It's pretty crazy. And we're just diving right in, just not even considering all the negative impacts and implications it could have in the very near future, by the way, in the very near future. All right, a couple of other things before we sign off. By the way, Trump is trying to have a new census that makes sense. And let's hope he gets that done. That's going to be very important. That's going to be very important, not just the redistricting that Republicans are trying to do, but also a new census that doesn't rig the elections with all the non-citizens that are here. All right, a couple of other things, non-political things out the door, but maybe ends up being political. ESPN and the NFL have announced a deal. ESPN now has 10% equity in the league. ESPN, that runs with gambling websites, has a 10% equity in the league. They've also attained control creatively over the NFL Red Zone. You thought the NFL was rigged now? Wait till this happens. And what about the WNBA? Now the biggest bets in the WNBA, what color sex toy are going to be thrown onto the court tonight? White right now going off at plus 700. Over 7, you're getting your money.
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's genes on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good genes great again.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition Murdered Out InfoWars shirt at thealexjonesstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers libtards. And then there's this limited edition I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.